Jayarada Madhava, Jaya Kundavi Yogi, Jayarada Madhava, Jaya Kundavi Yogi, Vijana Palapa, Jaya Giri Varuda. Balama Jagini Vana Jagini Vana Jagini Yasoda Nandana Jayakacha Jana Nandana Yasoda Nandana Jayakacha Jana Banacharinayo Kunjabehade Jaya Kunjabehade Yamunatira Banacharinayo Kunjabehade Jaya Kunjabehade Jaya Radhamadho Jaya Kundavi Hari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kundavi Hari, Gopi Jana Palapa, Jaya Kiri Varu. Yasoda Nandana Jayakacha Jana Nandana Yamuna Tira Banacharinayo Kunjabehade Jaya Kunjabehade Yamuna Tira Banacharinayo Jaya Kundavi Hari, Jaya Madhava, Jaya Kundavi Hari, Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parvacharya, also Tada, Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Haram Saikaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha, Sri Prasati Paul Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Sai Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Mathuradam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Lalasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Gaur Premila Hari 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 Gol All glory to the Stumble Devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Pristaya Budle Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pracharane Nivashesa Shunyabadi Paschacha Deshatarni. So Omagana Timirandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Miritam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master's divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're continuing with our study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're on the seventh chapter of the Adi Lila, and we're going to continue. Maybe we'll finish this seventh chapter pretty soon. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Make this a little bigger for you. All of you who are reading on with mobile phones. Okay. So we will start, and if anyone has a question, someone is sending a chat. This is my first day attending this lecture. Okay, Pavan, welcome. Okay. Welcome. Bienvenidos, señor, a nuestra lectura. Okay. Spanish for you. So, let's start with text 129. And if anyone has a question while we're reading, you can raise your hand in the chat window. Don't send a text message, please. Just raise your hand in the chat window, not in your video window, and we will get your question while we're reading. Sarvashraya Yishvarera Pranavahudesha Tattvamasi Vakyahaya Vedera Ekadesha. All right. It is the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to present Pranava Omkara as the reservoir of all Vedic knowledge. The words Tatvam Asi are only a partial explanation of the Vedic knowledge. And Prabhupada explains that Tatvam Asi means you are the same spiritual identity. And that's obvious, you know. Aham Brahmasmi is the same thing. And actually, that's considered by the impersonalist to be one of the Mahavakyas too. Aham Brahmasmi Tatvamasi. But it doesn't say what that spiritual identity is. Whereas, when we chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, our identity is contained within the Maha Mantra. What do I mean by that? Of course, we have Hare, Radharani, and Krishna. And we are asking to serve Krishna. So what is our identity? Jivara Svarupohai, Nitya Krishna Das. So Pranava, Sarva Vedeshu, Shabdake, Parasham Nushu. Pranava, of course, is the Omkara, A-U-M. Krishna, Radharani, and the living entity is the same as the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Pranava Mahavakya Takari Achadana Mahavakya Kari Tatvam Asrastapana. Pranava Omkar is the Mahavakya Mahamantra in the Vedas. Shankaracharya's followers cover this to stress without authority the mantra Tatvam Asi. That's, if you keep repeating that, the mantra is not wrong. You are spiritual. You are of the same nature, but you are not it. And the reason they chant Tatvamasi is to indicate you are it, you are God, and also Soham. The Mayavada philosophers stress the statements, Tatvamasi, Soham, etc., but they do not stress the real Mahamantra, Pranava Omkara. Therefore, because they misrepresent Vedic knowledge, they are the greatest offenders So if someone's going to send a chat, it's only if there's a problem. Please don't send any chat windows, only if there's a problem with the audio or video, because it really interrupts the the whole flow here, because then I think that there's a problem with the audio signal or the video signal. So please, no chats. Purport. The Mayavad philosophers stress the statements, Tattvamasi, Soham, etc., but they do not stress the real Mahamantra, Pranava Omkara. Therefore, because they misrepresent Vedic knowledge, they are the greatest offenders of the lotus feet of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clearly says, Mayavadi, Krishna Aparadi. Mayavadi philosophers are the greatest offenders to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna declares, Tanaham Dushita Kruran Sangsareshu Naradamam Shipam Yajasram Ashuvan Asturisheva Yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, those who are lowest of mankind, are perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence into various demoniac species of life. That's from the Gita, the 16th chapter, text 19. Life in demoniac species awaits the Mayavadi philosophers after death because they're envious of Krishna. When Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:34, engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. One demoniac scholar, that's Dr. Radhakrishna, says that it is not Krishna to whom one must surrender. This scholar is already suffering in this life, and he will have to suffer again in the next life if in this life he does not complete his prescribed suffering. One should be very careful not to be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the next verse, therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clearly states the purport of the Vedas. Sarva Veda Sutre Kare Krishnera Havidanaha Mukhya Vritti Charakaila Lakshana Vyakyana. In all the Vedic sutras and literatures, it is Lord Krishna who is to be understood, but the followers of Shankaracharya have covered the real meaning of the Vedas with indirect explanations. It is said, Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Advante Chamadye Cha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. In the Vedic literature, including the Ramayana, Puranas, and Mahabharata, from the very beginning, Adal, to the end, Ante Cha, as well as within the middle, Madhye Cha, only Hari, the Supreme Personality of God, is explained. Swata Pramana Veda Pramana Shiromani Lakshana Karile Swata Pramana Tahani. The self-evident Vedic literatures are the highest evidence of all, but if these literatures are interpreted, their self-evident nature is lost. And Prabhupada says, we quote Vedic evidence to support our statements, but if we interpret it according to our own judgment, the authority of the Vedic literature is rendered imperfect or useless. In other words, by interpreting the Vedic version, one minimizes the value of Vedic evidence. When one quotes from Vedic literature, it is understood that the quotations are authoritative. How can one bring the authority under his own control? That is the case of principis obsta. In other words, trying to, like obstinate, trying to control the actual meaning or the authority. So anyway, so it's interesting to use the word interpretation in different ways in different contexts. Interpretation can sometimes mean, how do you understand this? Or the way to interpret the Vedic literatures is the direct meaning. And the indirect meaning is the improper way to interpret. Or Prabhupada uses the word interpret sometimes just to indicate the indirect meaning or a speculative meaning. And then Prabhupada to say, well, don't interpret. So you really have to understand Prabhupada's usage of the word interpret according to the context in which you find the word. So, obviously, you know, interpret can mean just how you understand. Like if I say Krishna is God, how do you understand it? By direct interpretation or indirect interpretation. So direct is the method that we're supposed to use. Of course, sometimes there are metaphorical statements in the Vedic literatures and metaphorical stories, like the story of Puranjana in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Basically, Puranjana means every man. So you have a story there in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where you have Puranjana, every man, living in a city that has nine gates. Navadware Pure Dehi. So, if you think about it, you live in a city with nine gates, what does that mean? Well, that's obviously metaphorical, because this body has nine gates. I'm not going to tell you about all the gates, because some of them are lower gates, which I don't want to mention in class. So it talks about a person who lives in nine gates, and he goes to different gates to have some sort of happiness. In the same way, we go to different gates in our body. Go to the gates of our eyes, our ears, the nose, nostrils, of course. The nose isn't the gate. The nostrils are the gate. And the mouth. We put things in and we throw things out, our words. So that's obviously metaphorical when you say that you're living in a city of nine gates. Or this every man is living, Puranjana. Is living. So, but in most cases, the Vedic descriptions are not metaphorical, but in some cases they are. That's why you need the spiritual master to tell you which ones are metaphorical and which ones are not, or else you get confused. And if you have a rascal interpreter, such as Dr. Radhakrishna, he will tell you that everything is metaphorical. Then what's the use of a literature in which everything is metaphorical? And there's nothing direct. Pretty stupid. To prove their philosophy, the members of the Mayavad school have given up the real, easily understood meaning of the Vedic literature and introduced indirect meanings based on their own imaginative powers. And Prabhupada says, unfortunately, the Shankarite interpretation has covered almost the entire world. Therefore, there is a great need to present the original, easily understood, natural import of the Vedic literature. We have therefore begun by presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is, and we propose to present all the Vedic literature in terms of the direct meaning of its words. I'm just going to turn off this fan here, so because I'm sure it's giving some white noise. It is off. Okay, that's nice and quiet now. Text 134. Emate prati sutre karina dushana shuni chamakara hoila sanyasira gana. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus showed for each and every sutra the defects in Shankaracharya's explanations, all the assembled Mayavadi sannyasis were struck with wonder. They were thunderstruck. Sakala sanyasi kahi, shunaha shripada, tumiye kandila harta, e nahi vibhada. All the Mayavadi sannyasis said, Your Holiness, kindly know from us that we actually have no quarrel with your refutation of these meanings, for you have given a clear understanding of the sutras. Acharya kalpita artha iha sabe jani, sampradaya anurode tavu taha mani. We know that all this word jugglery springs from the imagination of Shankaracharya, and yet because we belong to his sect, we accept it, although it does not satisfy us. This is called political correctness. In other words, they don't believe in what they're preaching, but because, you know, they want to keep their jobs. This is basically it. You know, these people have been serving in that Shankaracharya's mouth for the last, some of them maybe 50 years. You know, and you can't change or change your horses midstream. Yeah, so the poor guys are like 70 years old. Uh-oh, what we've been teaching is wrong. Too late to become a Vaishnava. Uh-oh. So we got to keep our jobs. And you know, this is called, oh my God, kissing someone's behind. Sorry about that one. Or chamcha or brown noser or anyway, whatever it is. Yes, man. And you see this in politics also. When people are of a particular political party, they will put up with all sorts of garbage because they want to get elected. We're seeing this in America to a certain extent right now. Okay. Can you imagine this? These poor guys are realizing that everything that they've been taught and everything they know is wrong. And it's too late to do anything about it. These poor guys. Nukyarta vyakya kara deki tomara bala. Mukyarta laghala prabhu sutra sakala. Now let us see the Mayavadi sannyasis continued, how well you can describe the sutras in terms of their direct meaning. Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his direct explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. Brahad Bhaktu Brahma Kahi Sri Bhagavan. Sad Vaidaishvarya Purna Paratapa Dhamma. Brahman, who is greater than the greatest, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is full in six opulences, and therefore, he is the reservoir of ultimate truth and absolute knowledge. And Prabhupada explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the absolute truth is understood in three phases of realization. I think you all know this. Impersonal Brahman, the localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma are expansions of the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is complete in six opulences, namely wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Since he possesses his six opulences, the Personality of Godhead is the ultimate truth and absolute knowledge. And one thing we talked about the other day is that Krishna in Vrindavan has the highest degree of all these opulences, although all the expansions of Krishna and Krishna himself are full in six opulences. Krishna has a greater quantity of these six opulences than all the other expansions are concerned. He's wealthier because in Vrindavan everything was jewels and desire trees and touchstones. And he's the most famous and he's the strongest. He lifts Govardhan Hill. He's most beautiful. The other incarnations want to see him. He's the most knowledgeable because, you know, Bhagavad Gita, the most famous literature. And most renounced because he left Vrindavan to increase the love of the gopis in separation. And showing his renunciation, you know, and went to Mathura, leaving the most beautiful girls in creation. We talked about that the other day in class, that the gopis, they were all about 16 years old. And that's the prime of life. After 16, ugliness sets in. Not for the gopis, of course. But he left the most opulent, attractive personalities. So he could carry out his duties as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Mathura and later on Dwarka, later on the Battle of Kurukshetra. Since he possesses six opulences, the Personality of Godhead is the ultimate truth and absolute knowledge. Surupaishvare Tanra Nagi Maya Ganda. Sakala Vida Videra Haya Bhagavan Se Sambandha. In his original form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full with transcendental opulences which are free from the contamination of the material world. It is to be understood that in all Vedic literature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal. Tandre nirvishtesha kahi chitchakti namani ardhasrupana manile purnata hai hani. When we speak of the Supreme as impersonal, we deny his spiritual potencies logically. If you accept half of the truth, you cannot understand the whole. In the Upanishads, it is said, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasha Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishate. That's from the Isha Upanishad in the Invoka. Shoyin. I know the invocation. This verse, which is mentioned in the Isha Upanishad, Brihad, Aranyaka Upanishad, and many other Upanishads, indicates that the Supreme God is full in six opulences. His position is unique, for he possesses all riches, strength, influence, beauty, knowledge of renunciation. Brahman means the greatest, but the Supreme Personality of God is greater than the greatest, just as the sun globe is greater than the sunshine, which is all-pervading in the universe. Although the sunshine that spreads all over the universe appears very great to the less knowledgeable. Greater than the sunshine is the sun itself, and greater than the sun is the sun god. Similarly, so here's a metaphor for you. This is a metaphor. Similarly, impersonal Brahman is not the greatest, although it appears to be so. Impersonal Brahman is only the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the transcendental form of the Lord is greater than both the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma. Therefore, whenever the word Brahman is used in the Vedic literature, is understood to refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is also addressed as Parabrahman. Mayavadis and others sometimes misunderstood Brahman because every living entity is also Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi, that's one of the Mayavadis, so-called Mahavakyas. Therefore, Krishna is referred to as Parabrahman. That means above the other Brahmans, or the Supreme Brahman, Para, like transcendental. In the Vedic literature, however, the words Brahman or Param Brahman are used. They are to be understood to refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is their real meaning. Since the entire Vedic literature deals with the subject of Brahman, he's the greatest, or spirit, Krishna is therefore the ultimate goal of Vedic understanding. The impersonal Brahmajyoti rests on the personal form of the Lord. Therefore, although the impersonal effulgence, the Brahmajyoti, is the first realization, one must enter into it, as mentioned in the Upanishad, to find the Supreme Person. And then one's knowledge is perfect. The Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 19, also confirms this. Bhavanam janmanam ante ganavanam prapajyate. One's search for the absolute truth by dint of speculative knowledge is complete when one comes to the point of understanding Krishna and surrenders unto him. That is the real point of perfectional knowledge. That means after many births. Partial realization of the absolute truth as impersonal Brahman denies the complete opulences of the Lord. This is a hazardous understanding of the absolute truth. Unless one accepts all the features of the absolute truth, namely the impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's knowledge is imperfect. Sripad Ramanujacharya in his Vedartha Sangraha says, Janena dharamena sarupamapi nirupitam natu jnana matram rameti katam idam avagamyate. He thus indicates that the real identity of the absolute truth must be understood in terms of both his knowledge and his characteristics. Simply to understand the absolute truth, to be full of knowledge, is not sufficient. In the Vedic literature, Mundaka Upanishad 119, we find the statement ya sarvavit, which means that the absolute truth knows everything perfectly, but we also learn from the Vedic description, Purasha Shaktir, Dipadaiva, Shruyate, that's from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhima, the 1365 purport, that not only does he know, it's also from the Upanishads, does he know everything, but he also acts accordingly by utilizing his different energies. Thus, to understand that Brahman the Supreme is conscious is not sufficient. One must know how he consciously acts through his different energies. Mayavad philosophy simply informs us of the consciousness of the absolute truth, but does not give us information of how he acts with his consciousness. That is the defect of that philosophy. And I know I'm going a little fast because what we're reading now, one devotee told me the other day that I was going really fast when I was reading. The really reason I'm going really fast is because what we're reading now is repetitive. It's a repetition of what we've heard at least 10 to 20 times before during the last 2 weeks. So if you've been following, you'll understand what's going on. Bhagavan prapti hetu ye kari upaya shravanadi bhakti krishna paptira sahaya. It is only by devotional service, beginning with hearing, that one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the only means to approach him. So here, the first process in the Nava Bhakti process, or processes, is mentioned. The first process is Shravanam, next is Kirtanam, then Vishnusmaranam. Kirtanam means chanting, Vishnusmaranam means to remember. Mayavadi philosophers are satisfied simply to understand Brahman to be the sum total of knowledge, but Vaishnava philosophers not only know in detail about the Supreme Personality of God, but also know how to approach him. The method for this is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as nine kinds of devotional service beginning with hearing. That's exactly what I just said. It's predicting the next point in the purport. And this is actually from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's Prahlad Maharaj speaking in the seventh canto. Shravanam, that means to hear. Kirtanam, to chant. Vishnu, of Vishnu. And then Smaranam, to remember. Padasimanam, serve the lotus feet like Lakshmi. Archanam, to worship. Mandanam, offering prayers. Dasham, being the servant. Sakyam, being the friend. And Atmani Vedanam, surrendering everything. So, Shravanam, Parikshit Maharaj, Kirtanam, Shukadev Goswami, Vishnu Smarnam, Palad Maharaj, Padasevanam, Lakshmi. And so each one of these different items of devotional service has a particular acharya, Ambarish Maharaj, Vaharjanam, Vandanam, Makrura, Dasham, Hanuman, Sakyam, Arjuna as the friend, and Atmani Vedanam, Bali Maharaj has surrendered everything. The nine kinds of devotional service are hearing about Krishna, chanting about him, remembering him, offering service to his lotus feet, offering him worship in the temple, offering prayers to him, working as his servant, making friendship with him, and unreservedly surrendering to him. One can directly approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead by executing these nine kinds of devotional service, of which hearing about the Lord is the most important. In other words, you can't do the other types without hearing, because you won't know how to do the other types. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very favorably stressed the importance of this process of hearing. According to his method, if people are simply given a chance to hear about Krishna, certainly they will gradually develop their dormant awareness or love of Godhead. Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Kareye Udaya, Majalela 22.107. Love of God is dormant in everyone. And if one is given a chance to hear about the Lord, certainly that love develops. Our Krishna consciousness movement acts on this principle. We simply give people the chance to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give them prasadam to eat. And the actual result is that all over the world, people are responding to this process and becoming pure devotees of Lord Krishna. We have opened hundreds of centers all over the world just to give people a chance to hear about Krishna and accept Krishna's prasadam. These two processes can be accepted by anyone, even a child. It does not matter whether one is poor or rich, learned or foolish, black or white, old or a child, or still a child, or anyone who simply hears about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and takes prasadam is certainly elevated to the transcendental position of devotional service. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda. Sai sarva videra abhideya nama sadhana bhakti hoiti hoya primero udgama. By practicing this regulated devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, certainly one awakens his dormant love of Godhead. This process is called abhideya. Remember, we talked about the three stages of devotional service. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha means the basic philosophy, understanding the connection, relationship between the Lord and his energies, such as time, karma, living entity, material world, spiritual world. That's Sambandha, the relationship. And then Abhideya, what to do about that Sambandha knowledge, to reestablish your relationship, eternal relationship with Krishna. And then Abhideya, what is the perfectional stage when you go back to home, back to Godhead, or the residence of Vrindavan. By the practice of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, the impure heart of the conditioned soul is purified, and thus he can understand his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That eternal relationship is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivara Svarupohaya Krishnara Nityadas, Majalila 20:108. The living entity is an eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one is convinced about this relationship, which is called Sambandha, that's relationship, he then acts accordingly, that is called Abhideya, to reestablish that relationship. Abhideya means also the sadhana bhakti, practicing devotional service. After that, you have Raghunuga bhakti, spontaneous practice, and Baba bhakti, and then Prayojana is Prema bhakti. The next step is Prayojana siddhi, or the fulfillment of the ultimate goal of one's life. If one can understand his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and act accordingly, automatically his mission in life is fulfilled. The Mayavadi philosophers miss even the first stage in self-realization because they have no conception of God's being personal. In other words, they don't know what the relationship of the Lord's energy is with the Lord, or what the Jiva soul's relationship is with the energy and the Lord, or the Jiva soul's relationship is with time or karma. They mixed it all up into one witch's brew, which is actually faulty. That's the Mayavadis. He is the master of all, and he is the only person who can accept the service of all living entities. But since this knowledge is lacking in Mayavad philosophy, Mayavadis do not have knowledge even of their relationship with God. They wrongly think that everyone is God or that everyone is equal to God. Therefore, since the real position of a living entity is not clear to them, how can they advance further? Although they are very much puffed up at being liberated, that means proud, Mayavadi philosophers very shortly fall down again to material activities due to their neglecting the lotus feet of the Lord. That is called Padantyadaha. And again, we recite this verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, text 32. Yenye ravan jaksha vimuktamaninas tvayasta bhavad dhavishuddha vudhiha. Aruya krishtrena param padam tata patantyuto nadrata yuzmat angrayaha. Here it is said that persons who think themselves liberated but do not execute devotional service, not knowing their relationship with the Lord, are certainly misled. That means avashuddha buddhaya, means they have impure intelligence. One must know his relationship with the Lord and act accordingly. Then the fulfillment of his life's mission will be possible. In other words, you have to have perfect knowledge, sambandha jnana, before you can build on that to do what you're supposed to do, you connect with the Lord. That's Abhideya. Because if your foundation is not proper, then whatever you build upon that foundation will not be done properly. Okay. Krishna rachananehaya yaryanuraga Krishna vinu anyatratara nahi raga. If one develops his love of God and becomes attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, gradually he loses his attachment to everything else. That is called rasovajram rasyopyasa, a higher taste. Everything else becomes dry in comparison to the lotus feet of Krishna. Lotus feet of Krishna means hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna's glory, serving Krishna, praying to Krishna, the nine processes of devotional service, and ultimately Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything to Krishna. Of course, we don't like the word surrender, so we say giving one's heart and soul and body and whatever you have. Manasa deha geha yokishumor apilam to your body. Nanda Kishore, everything I have, my mind, my body, my words, everything is yours. Nanda Kishore, that's the name of Krishna. This is a test of advancement in devotional service, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, the test of advancement in devotional service is how detached you are from this world. Because depending on how attached you are to Krishna, that will determine how detached you are from things in this world. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Second chapter, text 42, Bhakti Parishanu Babo Viraktir Anyatvarcha. In Bhakti, a devotee's only attachment is Krishna. That means serving Krishna, glorifying Krishna, serving Krishna's devotees, bringing people to Krishna consciousness. These are all parts of being attached to Krishna. And seeing everybody in part, as part and parcel of Krishna. He no longer wants to maintain his attachment to many other things. Although Mayavadi philosophers are supposed to be very much advanced on the path of liberation, we see that after some time they descend to politics and philanthropic activities. Many big sannyasis who were supposedly liberated and very advanced have come down again to materialistic activities, although they left this world as mithya, false. When a devotee develops in devotional service, however, he no longer has attachments to such philanthropic activities. In other words, he may engage in philanthropic activities, but he dovetails his philanthropic activities in Krishna's service. In other words, he may give hungry people food, but the food he gives is what? Prasadam, not meat. Chickens. He gives people things that will help them spiritually as well as materially. So in other words, he doesn't engage in mundane philanthropic activities. He engages in spiritual philanthropic activities. He is simply inspired to serve the Lord and engages his entire life in such service. This is the difference between Vaishnava and Mayavadi philosophers. Devotional service, therefore, is practical, whereas Mayavadi philosophy is merely mental speculation. Text 144. Panchama purushate se prema mahadana Krishna ramaduya rasa kareya ashvadana. Love of God is so exalted that it is considered to be the fifth goal of human life. By awakening one's love of Godhead, one can attain the platform of conjugal love, tasting it even during the present span of life. We talk about the fifth goal, that's Panchama Purusharta. We have to know what the other four goals are. Dharma, mundane religiosity. You know, rituals, mundane religiosity without understanding, you know, why you're doing what you're doing. Or you're doing some religious procedures just for the next goal of human life, which is called Artha. Economic development. Getting opulence so you can enjoy. The next one is kama. Kama means enjoyment or lust. Yuck. Heard the kama. And then when you get frustrated with kama or lust or trying to enjoy, you squeeze something out of this body or the body of others or the whatever, your stupid mind, then you come to the point of moksha. Oh my God, this mature world suffering, let me get out of here. That's moksha. So we're not interested in any of those four. We're interested in love. Prema. Prema pumartha mahan. And that's, prema culminates in on the platform of conjugal love, which is the love the gopis had for Krishna. Not that everybody is a gopi. But we follow in the footsteps of the gopis in trying to serve Krishna in an unmotivated, materially unmotivated way, just to please Krishna. That's the mood of the gopis. The Mayavadi philosophers consider the highest goal of perfection to be liberation, mukti, which is the fourth perfectional platform, which we mentioned before, which comes after someone gets frustrated with the other ones. Generally, people are aware of four principal goals of life, religiosity, dharma, economic development, or the sense grad, comma, and ultimately liberation. Devotional service is situated on the platform above liberation. In other words, when one is actually liberated, mukta, he can understand the meaning of love of Godhead, Krishna prema. And actually it's said about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahavadanjaya Krishna prema padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya namne gaurate. Say, Lord Chaitanya, you're the most munificent of appearance of the personality of Godhead, because you're giving us something that no other incarnation, avatar, manifestation, personality can give or has given. And that is Krishna Prema. And you've given it freely. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated, Koti Mukta Maji Durlabha Eka Krishna Bhakta. Out of millions of liberated persons, one may become a devotee of Krishna. The most elevated Mayavadi philosopher can rise to the platform of liberation, but Krishna Bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, is transcendental to such liberation. Srila Vyasadeva explains this fact in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very important verse, 1.1.2. It's the second verse in the Bhagavatam, actually. Dharma pratitakayeta votro tra paramo nimat sananam satang veyam bastavyamatva vastu shivatang tapa trayon mulanam. Completely rejecting all religions which are materially motivated, praying to God for bread, for money or whatever. The Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam, the explanation of the Vedanta Sutra, is meant for Paramo Nirmatsaranam. That means the supreme, envious people. That is, those who are completely aloof from jealousy, envy. Mayavadi philosophers are jealous of the existence of the personality of God, and therefore the Vedanta Sutra is not meant for them, not actually meant for them. They unnecessarily poke their noses into the Vedanta Sutra, but because they have no ability to understand it, because as the author of the Vedanta Sutra writes in his commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is meant for those who are pure in heart. Paramo Nirmatsaranam. Srimad Bhagavatam, second verse in the Bhagavatam. If one is envious of Krishna, how can he understand the Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam? The Mayavadi's primary occupation is to offend the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. For example, although Krishna demands our surrender in Bhagavad Gita, the greatest scholar and so-called philosopher in modern India had protested that it is not to Krishna, that's Dr. Radhakrishnan again, that we have to surrender, therefore he is envious. Since Mayavadis of all different descriptions are envious of Krishna, they have no scope for understanding the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. Even if they were on the liberated platform, as they falsely claim, love of Krishna is beyond the state of liberation. A fact stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and repeated here by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Very important point. So, Manushanam Sahasre Shukasvid Yatati Siddhaye Matat Yatatam Api Siddhanam Kaschan Mam Veti Tatvata. After many thousands of millions of people, hardly one is looking for truth. And for those who are looking for truth, hardly one knows Krishna. It's a very rare thing, and we've been given that very rare thing by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate servant, Srila Prabhupada, who has come down in this public succession. So, now we will take questions. We will unmute you. So, let's see who has a pregunta. Pregunta means questions in Spanish. All right, who has a question? You are officially allowed to unmute yourselves. I'm officially listening. No one. Okay, Pran Govinda, why don't you ask a question?
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all goes to Prabhupada.
Okay.
Thank you.
What's your question?
Maharaj, the Mahavakya Om.
Oh.
Constitute Radha Krishna with the energy serving complete.
Yeah, Radha Krishna and the living entity. It's like Hare Krishna, right.
What is the significance of Hare Krishna Mahamantra versus Om? Why not we chant Radha Krishna? Why not we chant Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radha Radha?
Actually, there are people who do that. There is.
Should we start, Maharaj?
What?
Should we start under that?
That's not our disciplic succession because Sampradaya Vinaya Mantras Tem Nishpala Mataha. One has to chant the mantras. There are people who do that. Some of the Nimbarka people do that. And so, there's a temple in Govardhan, right at Nardav Kunj, where they do actually chant like that. And I've seen many Vaishnavas chant like that. However, we are connected to Krishna through His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is connected to His spiritual master all the way down back to Lord Brahma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we chant the Maha Mantra because we have been instructed to do so by our Guru Maharaj. Although the Maha Mantra is non-different from Radha Krishna. Radha, or actually, there is a little bit of difference because Radha is nominative and Radhe is not nominative, that's vocative. So in the Maha Mantra, we're chanting Radhe in the form of Hare, 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 not Hare Krishna. We're not members of the Hare Krishna movement. We're members of the Hare Krishna movement. Many devotees who say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, when they chant their japa. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. It's not. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. So that's vocative, which means, see, the Maha Mantra is very, very wonderful because we're crying out for Radharani. It's like saying Radhe, Radhe, like the residents of Vrindavan do. Radhe, Radhe. Anyway. And the word Krishna in the Maha Mantra is also vocative too. Vakata means to cry out. So, oh Krishna, oh Radharani, oh Krishna, engage me in service. So it has a very specific potency. Plus the main thing is that's what our Guru Pampara has instructed us in chanting. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga Avatar, has instructed us in doing. So we follow the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like if Krishna himself comes down, Krishna Varam Trisa Krishna, Sango Panga Sriparshadam Yagyahi Sankirtanaya Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasa. So if Krishna himself comes down and says, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, buddy, then that's what we do. Although there's Nam Namakari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktish. There's many names of God. That is true. And then we also chant Sitaram, Sitaram, Raghupati, Raghava, Rajaram, Patit Pavana, Sitaram. That's very nice. We also chant Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha. If we were followers of Shripad Ramanujacharya, that's what we would be chanting. Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya. Or if we were like Dhruva Maharaj, we'd be chanting Om Namo Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhakti. Vasudevaya, Om Namo Vasudevaya, Om Namo Vasudevaya, Om Namo Vasudevaya. Phew. I'm having a hard time at it. But with Hare Krishna, it's interesting, you know, it's really easy to chant Hare Krishna like all day long. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari, Hari. Anyway, that's what we've been instructed to do. And Prabhupada is our guru. Let's think of if I can make up a poem. That's what we've been instructed to do because Prabhupada is our guru.
Can I ask you one more question?
Wait, I'm making a poetry right now.
Okay.
That's what we've been instructed to do. Because Prabhupada is our guru. And if we decide to deviate, who knows what will be our fate? Okay.
I like that. Thank you.
Yes. So, yeah. I'm a poet and I didn't know it. So anyway, so let's... All right, another question.
Because your great devotee is one of the 26 quality. So you is manifesting now.
Yeah,
thank you for...
One of the 26 qualities, I can write rap songs very nicely. So anyway, and I can eat a lot of prasadam. I can eat a lot of prasadam. That's another one of the 26 qualities.
Yeah.
And
thank
I torture my disciples. That's another 26 quality. Okay, so.
Wonderful.
I locked his hands today. I put handcuffs on him today. Anyway, so I'll send a text about that. So anyway,
so you have a wonderful question.
I know I'm wonderful. I'd say Maharaj, that to myself. Every day I tell myself that at least 16 rounds of I am wonderful. Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. Okay, so tell me, and ask another philosophical question.
Maharaj, just a mundane analogy.
Yeah.
If a tree, when a tree has a shadow, if I follow the shadow, eventually I'll reach the tree.
Yeah.
So if they are merging into Brahman, the Brahman base is Krishna, beauty, beautiful form. Krishna is the base of that Brahman. Brahman has no separate existence.
Yes, that's right.
So can
a Brahman
they
does
eventually...
have separate existence. Brahman is the effulgence of the Lord. It does exist. But it's Brahman ohi pratishtaham. It's Krishna's the source of the Brahman. Yeah. So what about...
Correct. So can they eventually come to the source?
No, because naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata. Because they're envious of Krishna. Krishna covers them.
But they are holding on to Brahman.
That's fine. But Krishna says, naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata. Mudayam.
Maybe you will be traveling one day through those Mayavadi place and then they will be all attracted to it.
Or I'll become a Mayavadi, one of the two things.
No, you will never. I can see you will never.
Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi. Soham. Soham. Tatvamasi. 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 It's pretty boring. Okay, let's make some
But wait, Maharaj, just a technical question. I heard one lecture Prabhupada says, nowadays some Mayavadis are joining also. What should I understand from it?
Yeah, so Mayavadis can become converted by Prabhupada's mercy, and they're joining. Well, Prabhupada was talking mainly about many of the followers of this bogus, I really don't want to mention his name, but there was someone who actually was charging money for mantras. Anyway, I know his name. Don't mention it. It's not really appropriate. But he was charging money for mantras. And many of his followers joined. And it was interesting. Prabhupada was in Rishikesh in the final, one of his final pastimes. And this Mayavadi, so-called sannyasi, he sent a message to Prabhupada through his followers. And that message said, Swamiji, we are very worried about your health. Please just rest and don't talk. And so the reason Prabhupada said they were worried about him converting all of the followers of the Mayavadi sannyasi, so they wanted Prabhupada just to keep quiet.
I didn't know that.
So, that was in the final pastimes when Tamal Krishnamurti tells that story. In his books about Prabhupada's Prabhupada's final pastimes, that the followers of this particular bogus follower, this sannyasi, he was a follower of Shankaracharya, but he was quite popular in America. I mean, he was even on the very big television shows. There was one show called The Ed Sullivan Show. Of course, none of you would know who I'm talking about when I say Ed Sullivan. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? No. Thank God. I think Krishna Priya knows who I'm talking about. She's the only one in this whole class who knows who I'm talking about. Isn't that true, Krishna Priya? Yes? No? Or maybe it's the wrong Krishna Priya. Maybe it's Gopal's Krishna Priya. Anyway, he had this big television show, and this Mayavadi sannyasi was on the television show, and then also, I believe, yeah, this Mayavadi sannyasi was in a big stadium, and he was around. Stadium means like, anyway, how to describe, like football stadium, and he was just really like, what can I say, really, a rascal. But many of his followers joined the Krishna consciousness movement. Many followers have joined the Krishna consciousness movement. So, all right, let's let someone else ask a question.
Oh, thank you, thank you, Maharaj.
She's the wrong Krishna Priya.
Thank you, Maharaj. You are wonderful.
I know. Thank you very much. I'll send you money for saying that every day. Tell me how wonderful I am. I'll have to hire some more people to tell me too. Wonderful. Ishwaraham aham bogi siddham balavan suki. That's my
no,
mantra.
That's not you. That's not you, Maharaj.
Ishwaraham aham bogi siddham balavan suki. That's the mantra. That's from the chapter Divine and Demoniac Nature in the Bhagavad Gita. I am Ishwar, I'm the controller. Aham, I am. Aham bogi, I am the enjoyer. Siddham, I am perfect, I am powerful, and I am happy. And if you don't like it, it's too bad. So anyway, so someone else should ask a question. Let someone else ask a question. Okay, someone else ask a question. This is your last opportunity.
I don't have a question, but I guess I want to introduce myself out loud.
Pavan, you have a question. Okay.
Well, I don't have a question. I just am saying hi again.
Hi. Good to see you, Pavan.
Yeah. Pavan, can I say?
Pavan is very intelligent in mathematics. He's actually a genius.
Don't tell anyone.
Okay, I won't tell anyone. So who else? Who else wants to say something online, or else we're going to end class?
If I can ask a question, Gurudev.
Yeah, Arjuna.
I'm wondering what Lord Chaitanya meant when he said swata pramana, that the Shastra is self-evident. Is it, like, in what way does the scripture prove itself? Is it just that the meaning's apparent when you don't butcher it, or that there's no other proof that can be offered for it?
When we use that term, it's like axiomatic. It's just like, it makes sense. Like the statement, cogito ergo sum. You know that statement?
Yeah.
No. I think I'm conscious, therefore I am, you know. Huh? Self-evident means it makes so much more sense that you can't really prove, it proves itself. Like, for example, things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. That's self-evident. You know, things
are like the same. A statement from Bhagavad Gita can be considered axiomatic, that it's just obviously
axiomatic,
true.
Axiomatic, right. Axiomatic.
But many people might read those statements and not be convinced of their truth.
That's because they're rascals.
I have a question about axioms.
You know, it's not that everybody, like if I say things equal to the same thing are equal to each other, you know, that people may not accept that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people don't accept things that are axiomatic to other people. But to people who have common sense, then axiomatic things appear axiomatic. Because you have to base your philosophy on certain axioms, or else you go into what's called an infinite regress. You understand what I mean, Arjuna?
Yeah.
Can you explain that more? Because I am curious about that.
Infinite regress means you. How do you prove this? And then how do you prove what you used to prove that? And how do you prove that to what you used to prove that? Anyway, you go on.
Infinite. Does it actually go on, or could it be circular?
Well, that can be circular. An infinite regress can be circular, too.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to the first one after three or four steps. You know, you can be circular or infinite regress. But the point is you have to accept certain things. Like, I think, therefore I am. Like, Descartes, I was just quoting from Descartes, who is a philosopher, a Western philosopher, and he came up, he said, he threw out everything else. All right, what do I know? I don't know anything except for I am. I exist. I am thinking, therefore I must exist. You know, so that, and then he derived the philosophy based on that, all of his other philosophical points. So when we're talking about, I mean, there's common sense things that are in the Vedic literatures that are axiomatics, axiomatic, like aham sarva suprabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajantivam. So that's like, that's an axiomatic thing. Everything comes from Krishna. Janma jasya yataha. Like the first verse in the Vedanta Sutra, and also Bhagavatam, yeah. I mean, you find that in practically many Vedic literatures, janma jasya yataha. And so, what's the question?
Okay, I'm wondering about, I've started to learn some of the things that the Bhagavad Gita says, and some of them I don't want to accept right now. And I'm wondering if that's what it feels like to have fully embraced it. Like, is it that much better? Like, that philosophy of living compared to, like, say, half embracing, or what?
Well, you test it. Test it out. That's,
yeah.
If you're talking about what it feels like, feels is a subjective experience. Mm-hmm. So
I really enjoy it a lot. And so... Yeah,
for me to talk about my feelings, that's subjective. Mm-hmm. So you have to experience the feelings yourself. So as you're accepting more and more of the Bhagavad Gita and the other allied Vedic literatures, you will experience a higher dimension in consciousness. So it's a question of prachaksha bhagamam dharmyam shushakam kartamavyam. Prachaksha, direct experience.
Do you think that when you choose axioms, you limit what you can do? Like, suppose there's
of
a difference.
I mean, if you don't have axioms, that you can do anything and go anywhere and be bewildered and want a different direction. Just like
if there's a second version of the Bhagavad Gita, like Bhagavad Gita version 2, that has different with the axioms?
Let's say, for example, continuing with the axioms. Let's say I accept a roadmap. I can say I don't accept a roadmap, and then I may be all over the place, and I will be all over the place if I don't accept a road. Of course, they don't have maps anymore. Now they have Google. They have Google Maps. But anyway, so you have to accept some axioms in order to
progress.
Oh, my God. My phone is talking. Okay, Google, what's an axiom?
Here's the definition of axiom: a statement or proposition which is regarded as being established, accepted, or self-evidently true.
See? Even if
my Google also started talking.
I asked Google to talk.
Yeah, even my Google started talking about
axiom. Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I am good. Anyway, we have to end right now. We can continue tomorrow evening because that's what an axiom
thank
is.
You.
I have things to do tonight. So thank you all very much. We'll see everybody or hear everybody or talk to everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada.